Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're glad that you've joined us for this, the 56th episode of our program. And if you are new to our program or maybe just missed last week's episode, we are continuing a series. This is the second of a four-part series that I'm entitling 20 Things I Want My Children to Know. And so if you're just jumping in and maybe you think, wait a minute, I'm getting ready to hear number 6 at the very beginning, go ahead and download last week's episode. It'll be episode, obviously, number 55, and you can hear the first 5 things I want my children to know along with the explanation of them. As we said at the beginning of last week's episode, the idea behind this is not to build a full list because there are dozens and dozens and dozens of things that we want our children to know, but these are 20 very, very important things, 20 very foundational things that I want my children to know. And as we said, this is my list. Your list may differ greatly, but I hope this encourages you to have a list in your mind of those things that cause you to think when you're making decisions on how to spend time, how to spend money, things to do. You sort of run those decisions through these foundational things and say, is this really helping me accomplish what I most want to do with my children? I want to just list for you the 5 we talked about last week, but as I said, I hope you'll go back and listen to last week's episode to get a fuller explanation of each one. But just to catch you up on what we've talked about, last week I mentioned number 1, I want my children to know God, not just about God. Number 2, I want them to know that I love their mother more than anyone else in this world. Number 3, I want them to know and to have a servant's heart. Number 4, I want them to know the beauty of a Christian marriage. And number 5, I want them to know that the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature is for all Christians. So, let's continue this week. We'll do 5 more this week, and as we said, then we'll have a week off next week, and then follow this up with 2 episodes in the middle of June that deal with the other 10 things I want my children to know. So let's pick up this week, number 6 of 20 things I want my children to know. And this may not be a real positive thing for us to begin with, but it's just where it happens to fall on this list. And by the way, this list is not necessarily in any particular order that number 1 is the most important, number 20 is the least important. So these, just take these in random order and as they're intended to be. But number 6, I want my children to know that the devil and hell are both real. I want them to know that the devil and hell are both real. In 2013, there was a study that was done that said that the number of people in America who said that they believe in the devil, meaning the devil is real, dropped to just 58%. So basically, just over half, less than 3/5, of the people in our society believe that there's actually an antagonistic force, a real antagonistic force, who wants to destroy their soul, but also who wants to wreck their life here. If that is true, and I have no reason really to doubt those numbers, we may say they're not exactly 100% accurate, but even if it's in that range that 58% of the people believe in the devil, 42% don't, if those are even close, it's no wonder Satan is so very powerful. If I don't believe Satan is real, I'm not going to be looking for his attacks and his tactics. But the Bible never speaks of Satan as just being some kind of force. The Bible never speaks of Satan as being just some kind of figment of my imagination or invention of mankind's thoughts. Instead, the Bible very explicitly states that he is our adversary or enemy, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. And throughout Scripture, both the Old and New Testaments make it very clear that he is very hard at work. I want my children to know that Satan is real, but I also want them to know that hell is real. I don't want them to know that just so they'll be scared all the time, although that may be an initial reaction. But I do want them to realize that evil is a real thing, and that the devil, as tempting as he can make things look, and certainly he does, the devil does not really want what is best for them, eternally, obviously, but also even here in this life. Satan wants my children to be addicted to pornography. He wants my children to tell jokes that are racist in nature. He wants my children to spew profanities from their mouth. Why does he want them to do that? In part, he wants them to do those things because those things are not for their best. But ultimately, he wants them to do those things because they'll cost my children their soul. I don't want my children to think of Satan as just some pitched-forked Halloween costume. I certainly don't want them to think of him as something to be laughed at, as we so often see in the entertainment culture. I want them to know Satan is real. And I want them to know that hell is real, that there is a place where those who are not faithful to God will go for all eternity. That's a difficult thing to teach children, but we teach it by simply being willing to talk about those things as being real and not being just some force or some figment of our imagination. So number 6, I want my children to know that the devil and hell are real. Number 7, I want my children to know how to properly interpret Scripture. How to properly interpret Scripture. You know, when the first thing that's asked of a text of the Bible is, what does this mean to me? When that's the first thing that's asked, we have a serious, serious problem. But all too often, we see that even in Bible classes, and I would suggest even in some sermons. Now, obviously, we want to make sure that application is made from the text, from Scripture, because God wants us to live it out in our lives. He wants us to know what to do and what not to do in our settings, in our setting today. But instead, I want to teach my children that the first question they ask is, what does this mean? And then learn how to give a biblical and a historically accurate answer to that question. Once they've determined what this particular text, what this particular passage meant in its original writing and setting, then I want them to ask, so what does that mean for my life today? You know, sometimes it's been boiled down very simply, and I think very well, to simply asking the Bible two questions, what and so what. And the idea is, the first question I need to ask is, what does this actually say? What did this actually mean when Moses or Paul or whomever wrote this particular text, or when Jesus said these words, or when Habakkuk gave his prophecy, whatever it happens to be? But then, once I've determined that, then what does it mean for my life today? You know, that's going to take, obviously, years of study, and it's going to take time and effort and even some tools to do so. But it means the Bible is going to be open a whole lot in our house. And we're going to do some of that hard work of study together. My children are quite young. They don't really know how to dig into original languages and those sorts of things, but I can teach them to ask, first of all, what does this text actually say? When the story of Ruth was happening, what actually happened? And then ask the question, what difference can that make for my life? I want them to know that, how to properly interpret Scripture. Number 8, I want my children to know the peace that passes all understanding. In reality, I'm using that very fancy phrase to tie this to the concept of prayer, because you know where that phrase comes from, I hope. It comes from Philippians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul very famously said in verses 6 and 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I think it's very easy to say that peace is virtually non-existent in our world. That's true at an international level. It's true as we're going through this year in an election cycle. It seems to be a time of total unrest. But it's also so very true even in individual lives. But it comes, that kind of peace comes when we pray in faith, and when we stay in constant communication with God. I want that for my life, but I also want it for the lives of my children. Don't you? So I need to model a prayer life. I need to model a life that trusts that God will do what is ultimately best. I don't need to be fretting all the time about every little thing that ever comes up. But I need to walk in the peace of the Lord and let my children see me in prayer to Him, thanking Him, but also asking for that peace and requesting that peace when times may be a time of trouble. I want them to know that peace that passes all understanding, that only comes when we follow the commands to not be anxious, but also spend very serious and fervent time in prayer to God. So as we continue our list of 20 things I want my children to know, so far on this week's episode of the podcast, we've discussed 3. I want them to know that the devil and hell are real. I want them to know how to properly interpret Scripture. And then I want them to know the peace that passes all understanding. 2 more this week. Number 9, I want them to know God's providence. God's providence. Now this one, I'll be honest, is very difficult to teach. But what I mean here is that I want them to know that God is still working in the world today. Often we teach our children, and rightly so, those great miracles of the Bible. In Bible class, but also maybe in our family devotionals, we teach them about God parting the Red Sea, or when He made the donkey talk to Balaam, and those sorts of things. And those are wonderful biblical accounts, and I still love them from time to time, as I know you do as well. But God may not be parting the Red Sea miraculously, as He did in Bible times, but we need to teach our children that God is still working. God is still just as much God as He was back then, but He works through providence. I want my children to spend their time being in tune with that, looking for places where they might be seeing the hand of God working, as it were, behind the scenes. Maybe it's in finding a best friend. Maybe it's in being able to help someone they never dreamed they could help. Help them see and learn to give God the credit for bringing about those coincidences in life, so to speak, so they'll be drawn closer to Him. You recall in the little book of Philemon, even the Apostle Paul had to write that perhaps these things worked out for the conversion of Onesimus, the runaway slave. Perhaps that's why Onesimus ran away, was to come to Paul so that he could become a Christian. I want my children to be looking for those perhaps moments, if you want to think of it that way. But teach them diligently that God continues to work. And when those perhaps moments do come, make sure to give God the credit. Be proud of anything you might have done to help along the way, but give God the credit. Give Him the praise and the glory for those things. Number 10, and the last one we'll talk about this week. I want my children to know the joy of diligent labor or diligent work. How often do we hear parents complaining, "My kids just don't work. My kids are just lazy. My kids just won't do anything." There are a lot of reasons why that might be the case, but it could boil down to one very simple thing. We're not making them do it. But maybe it's also because we are not modeling the joy that comes from diligent labor. That's not what always occurs. In other words, not every day is going to be the happiest day of our life. Not every day at work is going to go swimmingly and wonderfully. Work is hard. And the pain and sweat that comes from hard labor is part of the fall, found in Genesis chapter 3. However, there is still part of work that brings joy, because we are fulfilling at least part of what God would have us to be doing in this world. Our children need to see us work hard, but also need to see that we find joy in work and joy in accomplishing a work. Make them, if I may even use the word, force them to work hard. You know, we have a pretty large garden. It's not as big as I'd like for it to be, but it's pretty large. And this year, it's a little bit bigger than it was last year. My daughter has helped out so much late this spring, early this summer, getting some things together and helping out in that garden. I continue to try to think of other things. And I'm not great at this. I'll be honest with you. I'm not great at making my children work. But maybe it's a garden. Maybe it's helping around the house. Maybe it's doing other things. Maybe it's some of those servants things we talked about last week. But have them work. You know, if your kid can get to level 957 of some video game, that child can clean their room. And they can do a whole lot more than that, by the way. Expect it. Demand it. But also, model what Scripture teaches us. Colossians 3, 23 and 24, "Whatever you do, work heartily as to the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." Again, it's Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Our children need to know that work, especially when done with a proper attitude, glorifies God. But no matter what we are doing for a living, what we're doing for chores, we do those things as if we are doing them to God, because ultimately we are doing those things for God. So I hope this week we've encouraged you. As we've continued our list of 20 things I want my children to know, we mentioned 5 on last week's program. This week, again, to recap the 5 we have discussed, number 6 on our list, I want them to know that the devil and hell are real. I want them to know how to properly interpret Scripture. I want them to know the peace that passes all understanding. I want them to know God's providence, that God is still working in this world. And then the last one we discussed this week, I want them to know the joy of diligent labor. If you're listening to the programs as they are being released, in other words, coming across them the weeks that they are coming out, we'll be taking next week off. In fact, there will be no blog post or anything on A Legacy of Faith next week, the first full week of June, for various reasons. We will pick up with blog posts again the second full week of June. I believe the date is the 13th. We'll pick back up, and we will come back with a podcast 2 weeks from today, where we'll do part 3 of 20 Things I Want My Children to Know, and then, Lord willing, we will finish up 1 week following that with the 4th in that list of 20 Things I Want My Children to Know. I hope this has got your gears turning. I hope you're thinking about some things that are very important, very foundational, that you want your children to know, that will help you decide, make decisions, and know that you are doing what is best, ultimately best, for your children, for their souls, for their relationship with God, and for the betterment of your family. Again, we hope this has encouraged you. We will see you in 2 weeks in the program. Remember, until then, your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.